Doc Leipzig, the oldest festival for animation and documentary in the world, is happening in a hybrid format in 2020. We're embracing the opportunities that come along with it. Welcome to the new Doc Industry Program podcast, realized in collaboration with What's Up with Docs, the Programmers of Color Collective, and independent film industry curator Temba Bebe. Welcome to a series of discussions on subjects such as story sovereignty, diversity and inclusion in the documentary industry, and decolonizing our industry in general. These podcasts are funded by Creative Europe, the City of Leipzig, the BKM, and MDM. We thank our partners and supporters for their contributions. Enjoy.
Hi, it's nice to see you both, or nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's really an amazing honor to be here. Thank you, Doc Leipzig, for putting together this amazing topic to talk about.
Hello, everyone. It's a really great experience for me to talk with audiences about our short film that we made with Guardian. And we would love to talk more about this film.
Yeah, it's a really funny time, isn't it? Because on the one hand, I'm really missing going to festivals like Doc Leipzig. But in another way, like I feel like I'm still able to have these really interesting and close conversations with filmmakers around the world. So it's really nice to join up with you guys again, because I think it was, what, 4 or 5 months ago since we worked on this film together? How have you been since then?
Yes, it has been a while. I think since the launch of the Guardian piece, which was in May, we've been continuing our quarantine more or less, and we are mostly busy working from home.
Yeah, and Corona, unfortunately, is going to be even worse than the beginning of the first wave of Corona in Iran. And many people are getting Corona, many people are dying because of Corona. And, you know, I wish people or government or, you know, the people that's making their laws and rules was so, you know, aware about what is happening in this country. But unfortunately, the results are not acceptable.
Yeah.
But we decided to stay at our home. We didn't go outside. We tried to work from our home, and not decided to go to, you know, trips or to work outside. And yeah, I think we choose a good decision. Make good decision for our life, I think. And the film that we made is result of our decision.
Yeah, definitely. It's really interesting. I just watched the film again this morning, actually, and it's still such a beautiful and timely film. It feels like it really captures like a real moment in time. It really transported me back to that moment. And I remember us talking a lot. So I'm based in the UK, and it felt like you guys were a little bit ahead of us, like you were in terms of the coronavirus sort of story, as it were. Your country's trajectory was a little bit ahead of us, so it felt like your film was almost sort of forecasting where we were going here in the UK. And I found it so interesting looking back at the film, because not only does it really, really unique eye and in a really kind of intimate and personal way capture that moment in time, but it has so many. It speaks so much more broadly, I think. Like it feels so universal in a way, and felt like not only was it speaking about that moment in time, but it had so much to say about where we are now as well. Have you watched it again recently? I know it's kind of weird sometimes watching your own work, isn't it? But have you had a look at the film recently? How do you feel about it looking back?
The last time that I watched a film was 3 months ago. But sometimes I check the YouTube channel of Guardian to see what is the comments, what is the reactions of audiences. But it was a very great experience for us too, because we didn't know that how it's going to be with this film? You know, what is the reactions? But Lindsay was with us and Jess. They helped us to just make it more international, you know, because we thought that when we started to make film, we thought that we are going to make a very private film to just maybe share with some people, but not in this, you know, it was huge for us, the expanding of the film. And we are happy because we could share our experiences in quarantine. It was not easy. It was full of ambiguity. And it was sometimes a bitter experience, but we could to share with other people, and that made us very, it was the good part of the story, that listen to people, to other people comments about the film, and people start to share their experiences with us after this film. And I think it was a very, very unique experience for us.
Yeah, I remember looking back, we had bought a bunch of stuff and we were washing them one after the other. And I was sitting in the kitchen table while Mohammad Reza was doing some work around the kitchen. And I suddenly thought that what if, you know, why don't we just start filming ourselves, you know? We have nothing to lose. We are sitting at home and we feel desperate. We feel like, oh, we can't even go out anymore. We can't take a walk in the park anymore. There's so much that we can't do. The only thing we can do is, you know, okay, here's the camera. Let's just capture ourselves. And from that moment on, we felt quite busy because there was just so many things we wanted to capture, from, you know, making coffee to, you know, also at that moment, the only point that felt like, oh, what's the point of filming? The only point that we could make up was, oh, you know, there's this Persian New Year coming up, so maybe we can just continue filming and see what happens. And we had to grow some greens, and there was just, you know, the tradition is that we have to clean the house. And so between cleaning and going about our day to day, there was just quite a lot to capture. And suddenly, unfortunately, because of COVID, my uncle died. And that sort of integrated into the story and into the filming. And it sort of became, it wasn't anymore a, oh, let's have some fun. Let's make this film and have some fun and just forget about our time. It suddenly became a healing process where we could talk about what this whole thing means and where this life is heading. Now that COVID is here, now that my uncle's gone. So this whole process was really an unexpectedly healing process for us.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, we sort of to get out of that sadness. We were really looking forward to the new year, but this time was to we had to celebrate alone, without any family member around. So we wanted to get the best out of it, you know. We just had to set up a nice table and have a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm so happy that we are filmmakers, because when we started to make film about our life, everything has changed, because we were so busy. After a while, we found out ourselves in the middle of many things to talk about the structure of the story, about what we want to do with this film, about how we edit this film, how to capture our moments.
And yeah, we had these little cards on the wall, and then we started to sort of write down all the shots that we've already shot. And then in between, we realized that, oh, it would be so much fun if we film this, and then we would just go back and shoot that. And the process became fun.
Yeah, also it was great idea to watch your life. It was the first time. It's 3 years that we started to be together as partners. But it was the first time in our life to watch our lives. We are always in the back of the camera to see the other people's life and just talk about the people's life and edit, choose the important scenes from their lives. But with this and watching our lives sometimes, we explored many things about our life, and I found myself sometimes, oh, I'm so crazy sometimes, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes I notice that I cry way more than I remember.
Yes, that must have been such a different process because I guess as filmmakers, thinking about those decisions that you're making around what to shoot and what not to shoot, I mean, not even talking yet about what, how you address all of that in the edit, but that must have been so different to turn the camera on yourself. And then how do you make those decisions around that?
Yeah, but in this case, we decided to film everything without even worrying about, what it would mean in the whole picture, in the bigger picture. We just decided to film us watching news, film us just doing pretty much everything, which, by the way, took twice as long because we had to set up the camera, and then we had to come back and see how it looks, and then do it. So, I
Yeah.
really admire the filmmakers who are making personal feature films. They probably spend a long time filming themselves.
And so you said sort of when you were filming, you just filmed everything, but when it came to, looking at your rushes and making decisions over the edit, how was that for you? Was there anything that you really sort of didn't want in, or anything that you really did, or how did that process evolve for you?
So I would say, maybe you would have a different idea, but I would say we had this whole bigger picture idea. We knew that this is, we were thinking about the whole arc of the story. Here's a couple living indoors, afraid of corona, and they're living in Iran, and like this whole unexpected event that happened to my uncle, and then at the end, we knew that we wanted to end with the New Year celebration. So this was more or less the whole gist of what we knew we wanted to have. But to think about what exactly to keep and what exactly to cut out, we did have quite a lot of back and forths. First of all, we had to like clean up, we had to log a lot of the stuff that we shot, and we had to then look for a story there. If you want to say something.
It was the parallel way between capturing our moments and editing sometimes. In the process of editing, sometimes we thought with ourselves that, oh, we need this specific shot, and we got it. And sometimes we were like, it's making coffee, it's the common practice in our life, but we don't have any shot of that. Or, and also by sometimes we wrote something on paper that to don't forget to take some specific scenes. I can say that at first steps of making this film, we decided to capture everything without think that, we want to edit, that our story has structure or not. It was just have a diary, the visual diary of our life. But after a while, we decided to think about our story in the trajectory of our story more, and then we talk with Lindsay after having our first rough cut, and she helps us with Jess Gormley to just to use their outside viewer to just change something in our structure, and it was very helpful, I think, very helpful. And we are happy that after having our first rough cut, we have very intelligent people to give us some fresh view and just inject a fresh view to our film, and it was really great. Yeah.
So initially we had a 15-minute cut, and when Lindsay and Jess came in, got involved, one of their recommendations was to maybe you can consider cutting things down, and we cut it down to 11 minutes, and it was to our surprise that we didn't need that extra 4 minutes. And it was really magical that, yes, the pacing changes, but the emotion doesn't,
Excuse me, just 1 minute, because somebody's outside with microphone.
Selling something.
Selling some, or buying some nuts, this thing that you don't need anymore.
So anything you need, I'll buy.
It's a very unique. We have to make a film about them.
Yeah.
So with microphone.
Well, it's in the film. I love that. It's like recreating in real life here a moment from the film. I mean, it's spectacular.
Exactly.
I'm buying refrigerator that you don't need in the street.
I thought I would say so. Jess Gormley, who you mentioned there, is executive producer here at Guardian Documentaries, and we work together on the films. And I have to say, when we saw the rough cut that you sent us, I feel like we both had quite a visceral reaction to it. Like, we both felt it was a really unique sort of perspective, a really unique kind of insight, window of view into this really global story. So it really kind of moved us both really strongly. I remember that morning when we both watched it. One of the things that I remember thinking about a lot is, and I know we talked about it at the time, but this thing that you were saying just a minute ago about how it was sort of a healing, it became a healing or sort of a cathartic process for you in a way. And that feels like a really, I know grief can be a really personal, a really isolating experience in a way. And I wonder how it felt to you when the film sort of went out to an audience, on a global platform, and people were able to write comments underneath your lives. And it's a really different experience. I just wondered if you could talk a little bit more about how making the personal very public felt and how you dealt with that.
So it's a very good question, and I had a little bit of a back and forth with that. So I did have a little bit of a back and forth when it comes to this grieving process being a part of a story, and then at the end of the day it had to go out to a large audience. So in some ways, yes, it was a private story, and it is a private story because in this setting and in this story, I'm the one who knew who my uncle was, and that's why I was really upset that he was gone. But at the same time, because he left us because of the COVID, it didn't feel like a personal story anymore. It felt much more, in a very painful way, much more public. Something that, as Iranians, this is like, I'll make a very quick point that as Iranians, a lot happens in this country. And if a friend, if a non-Iranian friend comes to me and says, "Hey, what's going on? How is it going? Tell me." And if I can't begin to describe what's going on, But COVID is really the only incident that I feel like I'm in a deep way connected to every single person on this planet. And I don't have to explain. I don't have to explain the pain of losing a loved one due to COVID to anyone, because I'm sure everyone understands it. And that feeling, in some ways, I went back and forth, honestly, also with Mohammad Reza about how does it feel to go from, my uncle was also a very private person. So how does it feel to go from this very private person, this very private death, very private ceremony, funeral ceremony, to suddenly like a lot of people know about this. I did have a lot of those doubts, but once it came out in a very surprising way, I felt that this is something that maybe this is like my way of paying respect to my uncle. Maybe this is my way of showing how much he meant to me, and that people that I didn't even know would make a comment to say, "Sorry for your loss," and that meant the world to me. So that's, the reactions was really surprising to me and to us. So the healing journey was really an unexpected one for me.
Yeah. One day, an Iranian painter that I really appreciated him told me that your duty, you are very responsible about your sorrows. You have to share with other people. You have to talk about your sorrows, your sadness with people, because people need to hear the things that they have, but they cannot explain. But as an artist, you have to do that for them. And I think it's really true. And making this film, the process of the film, and also hearing the feedbacks after finishing the film, told me that it was a fact that my friend told me.
Thank you for saying that, both of you. That is so it's so profound, really. I just feel like it's a great privilege that we have with films to create these conversations around the art and connect with other people who we wouldn't otherwise. I mean, you've connected with a huge tens of thousands, over 100,000 people who've just seen the film in that way and maybe have been able to have those conversations or seek solace in it and relate to, like you say, it's something that is, very personal to you, but in a way it connects us all. We're all connected in this moment in time. I found, from my perspective at The Guardian, it really hit me when I saw this film because I mean, we're a news organization first and foremost, and I was soaked in the journalism of it all and the data and, how many deaths there were and the latest news line and this relentless 24-hour news cycle. And I think that the data and the numbers and, the politics of it is hugely important and it's really relevant to all of our lives. Indeed, maybe it's like, determining the course of our lives in, to a greater and lesser degree. But I think with this film, especially, viewing it alongside, the news content, like in the journalism that we're doing, I feel like it really added to that conversation. Certainly, I'm commissioning thinking about our Guardian audiences, which are many and various. I say audience is plural because, you can't think of a global audience as one, one thing. There's lots of different audiences in different places who encounter the documentaries in different ways. But, a lot of people are also looking at the news journalism that we do. And I just think that this film was a real opportunity to sort of speak about that sorrow and speak about, and like you say, just kind of connect at a time when, just reflecting back to that moment in time, which for us was sort of early on in our lockdown, when everything felt very disconnected. You know, you felt really isolated from the people who make your life meaningful and important, and being able to have, you know, a documentary being able to make you feel connected again in that way, I just think is a huge privilege to be able to do work like that. So thank you for being brave and sort of brave to open yourself up like that, I feel. But thank you for that.
Thank you. And also going in, maybe we can speak a little bit about how our collaboration came about. You know, going in, and when we started shooting, we had no idea that this was going to be seen by these many people. And you know, this would have been something that we would have really dreamed of in terms of reaching that many audiences, as you said. But since I had met Charlie Phillips years ago at ITFA Film Festival, and we had exchanged contacts for a day where we have a short to present. So we had a chain of emails, back and forth emails, but this was really the cut that we shared with you was really the first time that we presented anything, and we weren't really certain what would come out of it. But we did know that it would be very amazing if this would work out, because we did want to see what it could feel like to basically be at a place at The Guardian where we can reach as many audiences as possible, because you get to sort of basically, a lot of people will see this, you know, a lot of people from different backgrounds and different social class levels and different countries would face with this, and this was, you know, one of our first shots, and we weren't sure how this would the whole thing would play out, and we were happily surprised that it worked out the way it did.
Yeah, and it's still sort of gathering audiences, which is typical of our documentary. So, you know, different from, I guess, when something goes out on television, or different when it goes out in cinema, and there's this one event that you gather around. And I think that we can sort of create that feeling, and I think there's great, there's a lot that I miss about viewing films in cinemas, put it that way. But there is something really interesting about being able to, you know, leave this footprint in the sand and then it carry on this sort of journey and life of its own. Like, it's still, tens of thousands of people are still kind of continuing to watch it. It's still gathering audience as it goes on, you know, through time. I think that's really interesting with working, you know, as it's a unique feature of working with the digital sort of platform.
And certainly a new experience for us as filmmakers.
Out of this short, do you want to talk, Mohammad Reza, about how this, creating this short film, have you been able to expand on that at all? Or is that a journey you're continuing on?
First of all, after launching the film at Guardian, we got a lot of comments. We got a lot of feedbacks from people all around the world, and we got a lot of emails from people that they were talking about the film, that, well, we cried, we thought that it's the same experience after watching the film, we call our family, and after a while I decided to see my father and things like this.
Yeah.
And we were so happy because it's very human. It's and Making this film, it was also very specific experience for me from my side. I'm a filmmaker based in Tehran. I have made many documentary films and also shorts about especially about the visual art and Iranian visual artist. But I never had the chance to share my film with big audiences. Always it was topics that people usually people are not interested to watching this kind of films. It was just very limited audiences. And as a filmmaker, I never get feedback from audiences. I really need it as a filmmaker. This short in Guardian and expanding the film in this way really was, I'm very happy. Because I got a lot of feedbacks that, okay, I love this part of film, and I got it from people all around the world. And also created great chances for us after launching the film. A great producer reached out to us and asked us to expand the film. And we were happy that, okay, why not? People are paying us for things that we really love to do that.
You couldn't ask for anything. You couldn't ask for anything better, you know?
I'm so happy. Yeah, I love to hear that. And I love short films. I mean, it's very, shorts as a sort of form, as it were, is really close to my heart. But I think it's a great way to tell, stories. And I think it can be great, offer great opportunities for filmmakers creatively as well, because in a way that a feature or say a series could take many years to realize, or work through or innovate some creative language, or visual grammar, or some kind of, like, maybe you're inventing a kind of technique or you're imagining a new way of sort of telling a story. It could take many years to sort of realize that in a feature, and it's just more fleet of foot way to work. And like you say, to really connect with audiences and test whether that works and see, and that gives you new creative energy, doesn't it? To do different things. So a lot of the filmmakers that we work with work across all sorts of different forms. And sometimes, like you as well, visual artists who come from different disciplines. And I love seeing that sort of cross-fertilize. I love seeing those different ideas and those different disciplines being brought into short form documentaries. I find that personally really exciting and really fulfilling to sort of be able to platform many different sorts of films from many different, styles of filmmakers all around the world. I love that. I'm so happy to hear it's been a step that I've been able to be with you on this sort of another step along your creative road.
I want to recommend you to read poetries of one of the Iranian poets that I love so much, Khayyam. Yeah, again, I want to recommend you to please read some poetries from Khayyam, Iranian poet who lived 1,000 years ago. He has just a little, very small, short type of poetries. His book is thin, just I can say less than 100 poetries in 4 lines, and you can read it just in 1 hour. But it's a full of
Life.
philosophy, full of life, full of wisdom. And also we have a great translation by his poetries taught me that you can say many things in a minimal way. A lot of things. And it was I think short form of telling stories is very important. And also in life, it's a teaching process, it's a learning process to learn how you can convey your messages in short words. You don't need to talk, hours and hours. You just sometimes need by just little sentences to tell your story, talk about your feelings.
Yeah, I love that. I love what you say that small things can move you in big ways. I think that's totally true of this particular film. I love that. And thank you for the recommendation to the poetry.
You're welcome. Edgar Fitzgerald, the translator's name.
I also just wanted to say something, when we talk about feature length movies versus short form movies. As filmmakers, a lot of filmmakers tend to spend a lot of time, as you said, on their features that would take years to make. And for that, they would have to fundraise for years, and they would have to sit through the editing process, and they would have to think about how to continue on if it becomes like a too long of a process. And that energy and that feeling of that feeling of excitement and creative energy is there from the very, very beginning and at the very, very end. But in the middle, where usually a lot of feature documentaries fall, they just are a little bit, tiresome at times. So I'm beginning to learn this from this very first short that we worked on, and that was that yes, you can have those long form projects, but in the meantime, if you work on a short, it's really sweet. It's short and sweet. It's that creative energy starts and then it stays with you until it ends. And that's a very, very good practice for, I think, any creative maker, any writer, any filmmaker, or any visual artist even, that if you can make something short happen, then you can make this longer form happen. That feeling of the energy rolling happens a lot quicker in
Good
shorts.
point, yeah. And I'm not sure that it's true or not, but it's true about us that we are more courageous, more brave in making short films. I don't know why, but we think that we can do anything that we want in a short form. And the result was great because we think that it's us.
It kind of feels like sketching, when you draw, you're sketching and on a piece of paper, and then if the usually I used to say this to myself, like worst come to worst, you put it out and you throw it out and you start another. And the short form kind of feels like that. It feels like a sketch.
Very direct, yeah. More, yeah. It can be more direct than like a quite a protracted sort of process. Pardon me, than quite a protracted process. But yeah, I think there are like, it's interesting. I get a lot of films pitched to me that either are features and people want to make a short version of something, which I'm always really sort of wary of, because I think that, the story either wants to be a short or it wants to be long or it wants to be a series. I think you need to choose the story really carefully. I definitely see filmmakers who explore, a theme or a community or a set of characters in different forms. So I've seen that happen before, that there is a short that is allied to a longer project and they become sort of companion pieces or part of a story world that a filmmaker is exploring, like in a deep and long sort of sustained way. Sometimes things like this happen where, it's a short that opens up an opportunity for there to be a longer form way of further exploring that story or telling a different story where this is a sort of springboard. And a lot of most of the shorts that we make are shorts that stand alone by themselves. So, it is a discrete story that works best in this form. I mean, that's what I'm looking for a lot of the time is, is this the best way to tell that story? And especially in the context of our organization, because we do have, you know, we have a big audio department, we make a lot of podcasts, we obviously have a huge print operation, you know, can the story be a written piece? Is it a novel? Is it an article? So a lot of what I'm doing is looking for, is this the right way to tell that story? And definitely with why shorts as opposed to other lengths. I mean, we do sort of do things of all different sorts of lengths at The Guardian, but when I'm looking for, you know, commissioning for our documentary strand. So technically shorts for us on the documentary strand is anything under sort of 40 minutes. But really that sort of like 10, 12, 15, 20 minutes is sort of where most things land. And that's really to do with audiences. Like we've been over the last sort of 5 years since we launched the strand, really observing and trying to understand how our audiences behave, how they engage with our films, how they watch films. And so part of those discussions and those decisions are, you know, looking at the work itself, working collaboratively with the filmmakers, what is the right length for this story? Where does it feel like it's going to hold people's attention? Where might it be losing people's attention? How can we address that? So it's on a case by case kind of basis. That's just a sort of mutual creative conversation with the makers of the film. But then also I'm looking at how audiences' behavior is changing over time. So for instance, 10 years ago, there was this received wisdom that anything like over, you know, 1 minute, no one would watch. Whereas now we know people are much more able, certainly on our platform, to watch films that are, you know, 20 minutes longer. Our kind of biggest film of all time was pushing 40 minutes. So I think in a digital context, how audiences watch films is changing a lot. And that's only been accelerated through Corona, because we found like people were just, maybe because they were at home all the time, they were watching a lot more documentaries. So that's been really interesting. And I'm really interested to see where things go as well in the future and what opportunities that creates for filmmakers.
Yeah. And Lindsay, I have a question for you based on your experience.
Yeah.
You know, people now are facing with a lot of obstacles that is related to coronavirus. They're stuck at their homes, or they're losing their jobs, and they are fulfilled with the idea of Corona, you know, having the Corona in their life. Did they like to watch, or do they like to watch the films about Corona? Because news are full of Corona, newspapers. They are interested to watch the films about Corona or not?
It's a really good question. I mean, and I think that like we can turn to ourselves, because we're audiences of films, aren't we, as well? Like there are some times when you sort of really need to, you want to know, or you want to connect with other people who are in the same world as we are, and you're consumed by that story and interested therefore in that story. And, you know, films about Corona, other journalism and reporting around Corona is, I still think, going to be part of our lives for a while. But I do think there's also, you know, a risk of missing the rest of the world, you know? So certainly what I'm looking for at the moment is films that aren't just about Corona and just about this moment in time, and looking beyond, well, hopefully looking beyond that, but certainly to other stories that are still ongoing in the world. I guess I could go a little bit. So I think in the context of The Guardian, like in the context of our platform, I think our audiences sort of expect contemporary stories. So we're very much obviously, you know, known for our news, and we're, you know, people come to us to get their news. But more than that, I think they're curious about the world around them. So the documentaries that I'm commissioning, I'm not commissioning sort of on the news agenda, but I guess sort of beside it. So things that are contemporary stories that have a global resonance, that tell us something about the world that we live in now, but aren't necessarily, you know, news. We have a big news operation that does that, and we have lots of news features content, reactive news videos and features. And so that's very well served in my organization. We have a big in-house team that does that. But when I'm working with independent filmmakers, and bringing their work onto our documentary strand, what I'm looking for is unique perspectives on the world that we live in now.
Also, I would love to talk about our experience with Guardian. At the first step, when Sarah talked about the idea of sharing our film with Guardian, I was like, it's a news-based newspaper, you know. They are looking for something not related to art or film. But she was like, no, I think we can talk with them. And after talking with Lindsay, I was like, they are talking about the structure of the film, about the visual style, about the, you know, about the film, about art. And I was so happy that, wow, it's a great chance working with them, because it's not, our film was not about just talking about news or sharing some news with people. It was about sharing the feelings with people. And yeah, and also Lindsay changed my mind about Guardian. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it was such a pleasure to work with you. And it's, I mean, yeah, I feel like every project, every film and all the filmmakers that we work with, I feel like I too learned a lot from working with you guys. And I can say that of sort of a lot of the projects, because one of the great privileges is having, you know, these different perspectives. And you learn something from difference, don't you? So yeah, I guess that's one of the things that help, that feeds my creative energy, is I never know from one day to the next, like what's gonna land in my inbox and what might be there to surprise me.
That's exciting.
Yeah, very, very exciting.
It's really nice speaking with you guys again. It really is. I hope we can find other projects to do together.
But thank you so much, Lindsay, for talking to us and talking with us. This has been an incredible experience working with you. And it was really wonderful talking to you as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you also. It's so nice speaking with you guys again. And it's been such a pleasure working with you on this film. It's one that's sort of close to my heart and one that I won't forget.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. It means a lot to
and
us.
For us, it was not just about making film. It's about friendship that we made with you in the process of this film. And also we want to share our films with you to just get your ideas about the film, because the experience of working with our Iranian lockdown showed us that how is important to have outside fresh viewer. You know, it's this film was full of Iranian traditions, symbols like Iranian New Year, but having Lindsay as a non-Iranian, as an outside viewer, gave us some things that we were not aware of that. And for our films, and also we would love to get her ideas about our new film that we are making, we are going to expand, because now as a friend, we need her to give us some feedbacks, comments, and we are really happy to have you, Lindsay.
Oh, thank you. It's such a privilege to call you guys friends, and I can't wait to see what you guys do next. It's really incredible, incredible talent that you hold, and I can't wait to see where you go next with your next project.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you.
Thank you.